Today's daf in Yerushalmi of Shvius is daf Yotet, and we were holding on Yotet Amud Beit in the new Mishnah. So, okay, we had mentioned long ago, and we talked about the Yisurim of Shvius, that we have only four things mentioned in the Torah, and everything else is considered to be either a tolda, directly, because it's similar to the same, or it would be a derabbanan. And that made tremendous differences in terms of what you were allowed to do in Erev Shvius, and whether we're cheshish for Maris Ayin in certain cases. So it would make a big difference. One of the things that we spoke about at the beginning of the perek that we just finished was the question of what point you're allowed on Erev Shvius to do zibo. So zibo is fertilizing the field, so that is considered to be a tolda, perhaps, or maybe just the pashtut is that it's a tolda because it now makes the soil usable for planting. So that anything that would be like that would be part of the idea of harisha, including taking off the stones that are inside of the soil. You pull out the stones, and now you're making the soil suitable for planting. So even though you just lift up the stone on your own, so that would be considered to be a sequel. We spoke about those issues before. Now, the question is, I mean, we can't just leave it at that, because there's obviously going to be circumstances where you're going to do something that is similar to that, and we need to know at what point you can do that. I mean, for instance, what are you supposed to do where you have all of this dung that's been piling up in your barn, or you've got all of the waste that normally people would use to put into a compost heap and so on? If you're not allowed to fertilize your field during that whole year, what are you supposed to do with all of this? How are you supposed to get rid of it? I mean, it's not exactly that they had garbage pickups in those days. And what if you need the stones? You need to build something. You need to put on a bedroom. You need to make a garage. I mean, so where are you going to get building materials from if you're not allowed to take things out of the field? I mean, so we need to be magdir those times or those particular circumstances where we're going to be allowing you to do something, even though it looks like you're doing something that's usher during Shvius. It would be clear that you're not really doing it in terms of the Melechus Hasadah. Now, this is a big, big machlokas among the Achronim about whether part of the Isser of doing Melechus in Shvius is the actual intent. Meaning that the same way we have a concept of melacha l'gabi Shabbos, we know that it depends what it is that your intent is to do. So we have those same kind of hagdoras in terms of a dovar sheni miskaven, and if we have a psik reisha. But here the question is, even if we would be talking about a psik reisha, if the person is doing something which has nothing to do with agriculture, is that the actual cheftza of the work? That's the problem. So since it's being done as a completely different idea in your mind, it's only a problem that it looks like you're working your field, but you're not working your field. It happens to be that your field ended up becoming fertilized, yes, but you were just taking out the garbage. It had nothing to do with the field. So that is a machlokas, whether that per se means that it's actually mutter and there would only be an iser of Maris Ayin. All right, so now the question is, there's going to be one point where you have to take out all of your what is essentially fertilized, your zevel, but it's all types of dung and human waste and so on. So at what point in the year would you be allowed to do that without it's looking as if you're actually going out to fertilize your field? So, I mean, what they would do is, in order to fertilize, so one clear way of fertilizing was putting, like, in different intervals, you would put a compost heap, and then when it was ready to be used, then you would spread it out all around that area. That way you would get the entire field. So what is the point? And there's many areas here that we need to take into consideration. The time of the year when people would be actually interested in fertilizing, the way in which it's done, which indicate that you're attempting to do things in such a way to ultimately spread fertilizer, and also the amount of material that you have in each one of your compost heaps that you're claiming is just for breaking them down, how much material do you have there? Is it the way that you would normally bring something out in order to spread it over the whole field? So as far as the time is concerned, mi sheyifsiku ovdei avoda, some have the lashon of ovrei avera. If you have ovdei avoda, it's a little bit weird, because it would mean people who are working their fields during Shvi'is. I mean, normally we would have said ovrei avera. Okay, so, I mean, some of the Mefarshei HaMishnah, again, Achronim, say that maybe the point is that it means people that, like Goyim, who would be working now. So look at them and see at what point do they stop bothering to fertilize the field, because it's too late in the year for it to be doing anything valuable. And so after they're not doing it, and people will understand that what it is that you're putting out there is not for purposes of fertilization. So now, again, the question is, what about the area that you actually put the compost on? Isn't that being fertilized? So that's a whole discussion. One sheet, as I mentioned to you, is that it's actually not considered to be the act of the malacha if it's being done in a different way. So that's the same idea that we find by Shabbos as well, that if something is done with Bishinui, then it's not the Derech HaMalacha, and therefore it's not included in the Iser. And because of that, we'll be moderate over here as well. Or if it's a question of entirely in terms of Maris Ayin, so then it's not such a problem. So Rebbe Meir says, that's the Shir. Rav Yehuda Omer, Mishi Yivash HaMatok. It's at the point that the sweetness is dried up. From that point on, it's too late to fertilize. Later, the Gemara is going to say that these are not very different shiurim. What exactly is the matok? Now, that's a lot of interesting differences in how to be masber. Some learn the matok refers to the dung. Right? It's like, you know, the sweet cow patties, so to speak. Others, in other words, when that's all dried out, so then you could take it out. But most learn that it has to do with something about the field. So either it's actually a lashon sagi nahar, which some say that what we're talking about is that we're back with the pumpkins again. There are some very inedible pumpkins, and in order to treat them, the lashon sagi nahar, they're very sour pumpkins. We call them the sweet pumpkins, right? All right? So that's when that turns sweet. But others learn matok is basically based on the pasuk in Iyov, motkelo rivgivei nochal, which is that the water, any little bits of water that are left in the ground or under the surface of the ground dries up. And what that means, which is similar to what Rabbi Yossi is saying, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Mishi Kasher, when the soil itself looks dry and it's lumpy, so at that point, it's obviously too late for the fertilizer to really penetrate deeply into the ground, and it's not going to be doing anything. Okay, now, the next question is, all right, how many of these piles can you have? And how much should be in a pile for it to look not like a local kind of thing that you're going to be using to spread, but that it's clear that this is actually a real compost heap? So, ad kama mezablim, meaning in both senses. Ad shalosh shalosh ashpatot lebeit sa'ah. So, you can have three of these piles in a beit sa'ah. And again, we know that a beit sa'ah is 50 by 50, which is 2,500 square amas. And each one of those piles shall have in it at least eser mashpelot. You need to have these 10, these mashpelot, either wheelbarrows or certain kinds of baskets that they would use for the taking out garbage. V'shaletech letech, each one of them, which would be holding one letech. So this is pretty big, right? So that would mean that each one holds 10 letech. 10 letech is 150 saw, at least. So there, you would never be putting out a pile that large to spread around, because you would spread them out in smaller piles to make it easy to spread. I mean, this is a real, what do they call that place, near Haifa or on Route 4, I forget what they call it. But this is really a hill, right?
Mysteria.
Yeah, right. All right. Thank you. So that is what you need to put out, and you can add Mosif and Al-Mashpelot. I mean, yeah, you can certainly make a bigger pile, but you cannot be Mosif Al-Ashpatot. You can't make more of these piles, because that looks like you're actually fertilized everywhere in the field. If you've got more than that, then it looks like the field is basically fertilized. Rabbi Shimon Omer, not true. You can even have more. Af al-ashpatot, a beit sa'ah, can have more if you want, as long as it's piled up like this. That doesn't look like a normal fertilizing. It looks like you're dumping. Okay, says the Gemara, me'imus ha'motzi. So we said, either we had two girsos, either ovrei avera, mishi pasku, and they stop finding it necessary, or the ovdei avoda. So we say, ad shelo pasku ovdei avoda. So before this, now it's an usher time, would you at least be able to make a compost heap outside of the soda itself by the entrance to your chotzer? Or does that also look like you're preparing it in order to get it out for the field? So would we usher it until it's actually over the time of fertilizing? Because, I mean, the whole issue over here is what people are going to say. So Silni asked Reb Chiya Bar Abba, and Reb Chiya Bar Abba said, you cannot do that. Whereas Rabbi Hanina said, no, that's not what happened. Actually, Reb Chiya Bar Abba said it was mutter. And because of that, the newspapers got hold of it, and they claimed that the only reason that Rabbi Chiya was mater it is because he used to take miser from Silmi, so he actually gave him this psak because he figures, this way he's going to get more miser, you know? You can't trust these rabbis for nothing. So this very much upset Rabbi Chiya, and because of that, he was matir la'alocha, leaving to Chutz La'aretz. So that people, not permanently, but he left to Chutz La'aretz so that he wouldn't be in a position to get meiser, the lola meiser meiser. Let people think that's what they want to say. Let them talk about it when they see I'm not even here when it's time to give meiser. Okay, anyway, so we're talking about the idea of Mari's Ayin, and this is even perhaps at the, this is a machlokas whether we're talking about the case in the field, or we're talking about even according to the gears that we said was us, or even by your fence. So me'ata, if that's the case, and I feel me should pasku over avira or of the avoda, so then if you are in a stay besabal, this is what we're talking about, because if you take, as we're going to see in a moment, if you take fertilizer out to a stay besashlachim, that's usher all the time, because a stay beis hashlachim, which is constantly irrigated, there is no time, mishi yavshu hamatok. And any time that you're bringing out fertilizer there, for sure, that is in order to make the field more productive, because it's producing the whole time. So the question is, why don't we take that into consideration? Even if it's a point that we're posku avrei avera, it should still be also Maris Ayin for another reason, because people will say, he's bringing it out over here to make it look like, well, nobody would put it out there in a stay beit habal when it's all dried up. Yeah, but you know why he's putting it out here like this? Because he's going to be getting trucks in the middle of the night to bring it over to his stay beit hashlachin. Because you say, even if it was in his yard, maybe it was usher. So why isn't it usher in one field? Because maybe he'll bring it over to another field. No, you're right. You're right, 100%. We're talking about that people in town know that he doesn't have another Beis HaShlachim. People know. Yodim ebnei iro, im yesho Beit HaShlachim, im ein lo. So if he does not have a Beit HaShlachim, there won't be any Yisr. That's what we're talking about. Of course you're right. Why would there be a difference if people know that he does own a stay Beis HaShlachim? So then people will think he intends to take it out all the way to there. Om Rav Yossi. So if you see from here, an amazing halacha, because we often find dinim of Maris Ayin, right? Here we're saying it's not Maris Ayin because people know. What do you mean people know? I mean, what if people that are not from locals pass by? Why aren't we chashish for Maris Ayin? You see from here an amazing halacha that lo choshu lo ovrim v'shavim mipnei mari zayin. Since we're only saying that it's mutter because people locally know, so what does that mean? It must mean that we don't have to worry about people that are just walking by, even though they may say, oh, this guy probably has a stay based shlachim. Okay, and there's big machlokas over here, because normally we certainly find in many cases that we are chayshishvavim v'shavim, like by Hanukkah. I mean, people know he has another entrance to the house, but people passing by don't know. And therefore, you're supposed to put your Hanukkah menorah at the other entrance as well. They shouldn't say that you didn't put out a menorah. Anyway, so the question is whether this is specifically a kula, and he doesn't mean all over lo chashu, lovrim v'shavim, but rather that you see from here that when it comes to the dinim of shvias, where all of these halachas of Mar Zion are a tremendous extension of the Rabbanan on Yisurim that the Torah never brought up, that they weren't makbid on Ovrim v'shavim. Now, let me ask you something else. How about during the Shnei Prakim HaRishonim that we spoke about at the beginning of the Masechet? So we've got that extra period from Pesach and from Shavuos. Can you do it then? So we're saying over here, this was all towards the end of the Shemitah year. And we said before, at the beginning of the second parak, we said before that you're not allowed to do an actual kind of fertilizing, but could you do this? And that this, or would that be enough at that point? Well, you can see what the answer is to that from the Braisa. Mochrin, umotziin zevalim, im haosim shvi'it, ad Rosh Hashanah. So let's say you're working with someone, and the guy that you're working with is not a religious person, and he actually will be mezavel his sadeh during shvi'is. You are allowed to transport that for him during the whole Shana Shishis, all the way up until Rosh Hashanah. And if the person that's working is not Jewish even, so he's a goy or a makuti, so then you're not going to be over on Messiah de Ovre Avera, and over there, you'd be allowed to even transport it for him into the field on condition, but you can't actually open up or spread these wheelbarrows, you can't actually open up the containers on the field itself. Because then if you did, you would be doing the actual zibul in that part. Now, you'll notice that the only thing the price is marked on, lo amar, it'll be vachloi frokat amashpelot. Halot seit motzi, it says you can't actually unload them, right? But you can take it out, even though this is during Shvias. Now, if lemaisa, the guy is the Jew, so how can you take it out to the field? Why isn't that called Misayaya de Avri Avera? So that tells me that actually Ada Amra Shehu Mutar, because this must be that it's Mutar before Shvias. That part of the Brice was talking about before Shvias, as opposed to the case of the Goy. The Inte Marshu Asur, Yasra Milotzi, if it would actually be Asur during that period as well, Erev Shvias, which was the Shnei Prakim HaRishonim, so then why wouldn't it be usher even to take it out? So obviously you're allowed to take it out because it's being done in this fashion. You see that it works even for the times before Shvias of the Shnei Prakim HaRishonim. Now, the Mishnah said that Alibi de Rabbi Yehuda, Mishi Yivash HaMatok. So again, as we said, either that means the water, or it means the pumpkins, or it means the actual dung itself. Anyway, what is that referring to? So again, that depends how you understand the previous sugya, is the way that you're going to understand the word pakua. So pakua means that there are cracks, if we're talking about the ground itself, and that it looks lumpy. So when the ground cracks on the surface, even though there may be still moisture underneath the ground level that is cracked, that is itself, that's enough, and that's called Misha Yivasha Matok. Omer Rabbi Mona. Rabbi Mona said, well, ahun pakua de bika'ata. We're talking about them in the valley, down at the bottom, and they become so full. Again, we're learning all of this according to the Shita, that what we're talking about is the ground and not the things that are growing. But okay, that's the easiest way to understand it. But you can easily translate in your mind to be referring to the dried pumpkins or whatever else we're talking about. So what Ramona said was, what we're talking about, Pakua, it sounds much more, I have to admit, it sounds much more that it's talking about a plant and not the Bikia, which is the way that we were learning it. But anyway, what he was referring to, says Rabbi Mana, and we explained that Pakua is the Mishiva Shamatok. It's not referring to where you are. It's referring to even down in the valley. We're over there. It takes a long time for it to drain because it's much wetter than everywhere else. When there, it's Pakua on top, so then you're allowed to go and take out your dung to make a compost heap. Okay, in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi said, that's not enough. You need mi shiikasher. So actually, it's big mako really, because as long as it looks sort of lumpyish, because that means mi shiikasher kishirin kishirin. So there, that's just like right on the top of the land, even though you know that that's the first thing that happens, even after the rain, you know, so it starts to dry. You're not going to walk there because you're afraid it's going to become muddy as you walk, but that's enough. Amar Rabbi Chanina, mikivan shenitkasher bo kesher ha'elyon miyad hu yavesh. It's considered to be dry, even if it's mamish, just the upper kesher. We're using the word kesher, meaning we would say in English, knotty, right? It looks knotty, I would say, as a synonym for lumpy. So that is considered to be sufficient to be dry, v'tani ala. And it says, beferish, that krovim divrayim liyot shavim, like we had before, the same lashon, that sometimes we give very close explanations where it doesn't really make all that much of a difference. So if Rabbi Yossi was talking about it becomes ksharim under the visible surface, so then it would be later. It wouldn't be near the same time as Rabbi Yehuda. So therefore, what you were saying was that you're talking about, we look at it as if it's dry, meaning even that is good enough to be the matok alib de Rabbi Yehuda. So that's a very small difference. But otherwise, why would we say that krovim divreelo liot ki divreelo? So that wouldn't be so partial. Now, we also said that we have the machlokes, whether you can add to the number of these piles that you have in a beit saw. And Rabbi Shimon says, you can. You can certainly add material to the pile, because that's even better. The bigger the pile, the less it looks like a normal way of fertilizing. Omer Rabbi Yehuda, this issue that we said that you can't make more than three piles, that is only true if you are also making less mashpelot in each pile. So in other words, let's say that you have 30 of these mashpelot, and you're supposed to have 10 in every pile. You can't spread them out into four piles, because then you're going to be adding not merely to the number of piles, but you're going to be making each pile usher because it's closer to the smaller size pile that would be used for fertilizing. So that's ridiculous. I understand. So what are you saying? That what? A shalosh mutar? That actually, if you have three, not four, and each one would have less than the esrim mashpelot, that would be mutar? It's not mutter. It says beferish. It's not mutter. The Tanakhama said beferish. You can't make more than three, and you can't have less than 10 mashpelot in each one. And you're claiming the only problem of making more is where you're spreading the 30 into four. So that doesn't make any sense. Because if you're going to make three, and you're saying that it would be mutter if it has less than 10, why, if you have less than 10, would it be mutter? Obviously, a shalosh asur, even three would be asur, because the Tanakhama gave this year three per beit sa'ah, each one of which is 10. So the way that you're explaining it doesn't make any sense. Elokeinan kayamin, what are we referring to? Obviously, when the Tanakhama says you're not allowed to have more than three per beit sa'ah, he's talking about, Ba'ose, it should say over here, according to the grow, which is pretty obvious, Ba'ose kishiyur. It's talking about where each one of them is the right amount, And that's specifically where the Tanna Kamma said, but you can't have more than three for Beit Sa'ah. But if it would be less than 10 in each one, you couldn't even have three. And that seems very clear. Gada de Tani. I mean, it's basically the Braita. Ein Mosifim, lo al ha-mashpelot, lo al ha-ashpatot. You can't add to the number that you have per Beit Sa'ah, and you cannot add either to, we'll see what this is talking about tomorrow, whether it's saying that you can't add to the number of the mashpelot, divrei Rabbi Meir, which is what Rabbi Meir seems to be saying, that if you make the dungi, compost, whatever you call it, if you make it bigger, it's also going to be usher, and you can't make more of them either. So, Tainas Rabbi Meir. Whereas the Chachomim say, no, it's not true. You can be Mosif ala Mashpelot because that makes it even less similar to a normal fertilization. As a Liber Rebbe Meir, but it's going to spread. If it spreads, then you're covering too much of the area with actual fertilizer. But we hold you, the more that you put, the better, because it looks less and less like a normal type of developing it. But Ein Mosifim al Ha'ashpatot. Can't add to the number of Ashbot, that's yes. So in other words, we're made of that you can only have three per Beit Sa'ah, which is exactly the Tanna Kamma that we have. So, okay, tomorrow, we're already at our half-hour mark, so tomorrow we'll continue, even though we haven't finished the entire Raya that we're trying to bring over here to where Rabbi Yossi was understanding it. Okay, but meanwhile, what we see, we understand that we've got a Machlokas over here that we didn't take into consideration earlier, to be continued, Bezrat Hashem, in happier circumstances, amidst tremendous Besuras Teves, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mashiach Ha'amei, to be Mekayim Mashiach Ha'amecha, Vorech HaSach HaMasecha, Ure'im V'naseim Ad Olam, Yatzilenu Mikol Besurot Ra'ot, Mikol Dovara, Nayom HaKadosh. Kol Tov, everybody. Kol Tov.